where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence. And we have Eyal Matzlia on the show today. He is the author of Orgasm Unleashed. He's a sexual empowerment coach, and we're going to be talking to him today about Tantra. I'm so excited because he's lived in a Tantra community, and I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about all of the things that we maybe misunderstand Tantra to be and what it actually is and how it can empower and help us live more inspired lives. Eyal, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So can you tell us when you first started to hear about Tantra and being empowered through sexuality?
So my sexual exploration started very early. I was playing with my neighbor's clit when I was 5.
I am so excited about this podcast already.
Okay, so I was like, it wasn't just general, you know, doctor and patient. It was like, I was like the little researcher, you know, just going there and...
Okay.
You know, and then her parents found out, and the next day it's like, oh yeah, my parents said we cannot play again and all of this stuff. So I was always crazy about women, but also I was a bit of a shy kid. I was a bit of a soft boy. I was playing with the girls, but also like afraid of them. So, and also I started making love quite late, I think for men or late for people around me. So I started around age 20, and which meant that through my teenage years, I was exploring making out because making out was the only thing for me. And I turned making out into an art. And I remember finding, you know, it's like exactly the spot in the woman's neck that makes it go like, ah.
As you know? Talk about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, yep, I know the spot.
And yeah, you know, and it's like, and kissing 4 hours, and you know, there wasn't second base, there was just first base, and I've started to learn how to interact with men, women, how to touch women, how to kiss women, how to approach women from that age. I started exploring Tantra without knowing that it is Tantra from around 1999. Gave my girlfriend kind of a yoni massage even back then, had my first non-ejaculatory orgasm back then, started exploring lasting longer and really, really amazing sexual sessions. And then in those years, I got very sexually active, or relatively sexually active compared to before. Lived on a tropical island called Koh Phangan in the Pati area. So I was having a lot of sex, but I tried for that to be meaningful, you know. So it wasn't just a numbers game. I hardly ever went home with a drunken woman, you know, because for me I wanted the connection. I wanted to have an experience. I wanted to know a person. And then I started hearing about this thing called Tantra, and there was a tantric school at the island I was living at. I remember going to see the sunset, and I loved looking at sunsets, still do. And I went to this place, to this hill nearby a resort, and it was the loudest sunset I've ever heard, because there was a woman there that sounded like she was taking, like a plane taking off, or she was... Like, I was having great sex, but I've never had women have like make that much sounds. And later I discovered that was the house of the Swami, the main teacher in that school. Mm. So I found that Tantra workshop 2005. Ah, yeah, there was another thing. I knew this Thai woman who was renting out houses, and she was renting out houses to the yogis from that school. And she said, oh, these people from the school all the night. Ah, ah, ah. You know? And I thought, where is that?
How do I obviously get there?
Obviously she was, you know, envious as well because her partner was a serious pothead and probably didn't give her any and stuff. So 2005, I've done the workshop. My life changed. Basically, it confirmed to me everything that I was already doing and gave me many more ideas. It gave me a path. It gave me practices. And soon thereafter, I've left the business that I was having on the other side of the island and moved to that side of the island, the spiritual side, started practicing Tantra. And I was on the island in total for around 7 years. So on a tropical island, living on the beach or on a coconut grove, practicing Tantra 10, 15, 20 hours a week sometimes, and meditation retreats and rituals and years and years and years of tantric studies. So yeah, that's like real Tantra.
Okay, I have so many questions for you already. I've just got to go with, I'm so curious. I've told my friends, I'm really excited to know what happens inside of a tantric community when you live with people who just practice Tantra all the time.
One of my best friends, who's a businessman and a coach and a personal development enthusiast, he said that I kind of like lived the dream that most men would kill to live. You know, it's like would pay a lot of money at least in order to live. So how does a life look like inside the tantric community? So there's a lot of sexual explorations, and it's kind of like natural and flowing and obvious in some ways. So there's not all of the stuff in Western society around sex and sexuality. So I was interacting with women, and sometimes after an hour or so of meeting them, you know, would make love. Our lovemaking would always be sober. Mm. Okay. So especially in that tantric community, I didn't, nobody drinks, nobody does drugs. So that's very conscious lovemaking. There's some kind of ritual or prayer or consecration in the beginning of lovemaking, at the end of lovemaking. A lot of very beautiful exploration. Some of them only, you know, it's like once or twice, and some of them lasting days, weeks, months, and longer. Mm-hmm. Some people, very few people are on exclusive relationships. Many people are on open relationships, open to various levels. I did have a lot of what I like to call research back then. And I don't hold any certificates in sexology or anything, but anyway, they don't teach all of the stuff in sexology anyway. If in like you read the book Orgasm Unleashed, your guide to pleasure, healing and power, I had sexologists that read the book and they said nobody taught me anything about that in my sexologist master's studies. So yeah.
Okay. So it really was like you met people and made love and had an awesome time a lot of the time.
Yeah. And 99% of those women, it's like, you know, sometimes like women have sex with somebody and then they either don't remember or they don't want to see them again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's kind of like you meet on the street and it's like, oh, let's pretend that I didn't see him. So I'm still in Facebook contact with some of those women, or if I travel around the world and I get to some place and I reconnect with somebody, or some women still reach out and ask for advice, or they share with me what they're going on their tantric journeys. And and yeah, there's like we have like dance parties with no drugs where everybody's like barefoot and just dancing and having like kombucha and fruit shakes and aphrodisiac shakes and stuff like this, you know.
So, okay, and do they make love at these dance parties in front of people?
So because of the Thai culture, you are a little bit limited. So for example, there's no sex that happens on the school premises itself, although I sometimes bent that rule a little bit. So yeah, most stuff happens inside people's houses. So people rent bungalows and houses all around the school. Mm-hmm. And yeah, in the parties as well, it's like, it's not on the dance floor. So it's not, as permissive, and maybe doesn't even have to be, you know, because sometimes I'm a dancer as well. So for me, I can dance for hours and hours and have very, very sexual dances with women and without even needing to take it further.
Okay. But just for the record, because I feel like, I don't know if it's just me or my audience as well, but I want to know, are there ever times where people, like more than two people, like just like a group of people, just, you know, we haven't lived yet. We want to know.
Yes. So I remember having a foursome with one of my past lovers. So with my current lover and one of my past lovers and her boyfriend, and we did it on a we did it on a full moon, so there is some importance to which days of the month you do that. So there's a lot of energy around the full moon, and the energy was so strong that afterwards we went to another tantric ritual, like a non-sexual tantric ritual, and the energy was so strong for me, every time I looked in my partner's eyes I was about to faint.
Wow.
So the energy was just, yeah, so that was we did have experience like that. Although I have to say that for me on a regular level, I don't actually need threesomes and foursomes because one woman is so much that I don't even need more than that. Okay. Mm. So so we did have these kind of experiences. I actually found lovers for my girlfriend, because I would be with so many women and she wouldn't find men who would be able to be at that level and to be connected to her at that level. Mm. You know? So I actually got one of my best friends to make love with her in front of my eyes, which was an interesting experience as well. So
what was that like to watch your best friend make love with your lover?
So it was kind of like a threesome. So both of us, you know, like I made love with her and he made love with her. And I think it's funny, but one of the things that challenged me was actually seeing them kiss.
Mm.
Because she said that my kisses were too wet. Well, at the time I couldn't understand. Afterwards, my energies shifted a bit. Because, you know, people have different energies in their being, and that determines how they do everything, how they express everything. So he was kissing her more sensually and less wet. It's funny because I'm celebrating so much thinking about all of these memories. And that was for me, it's like I loved her and I wanted her to have the best. And he was one of the best lovers in the community as well. Again, a very sexually active person. And I was happy that she was receiving that, you know, it's like an experiencing that, not just for me, but from another man that I really appreciated.
Mm.
So yeah, it was humbling, and also it filled me with love to see that happen. And then they made love afterwards in the just the two of them as well. So that's great that she was able to experience that.
Mm. Yeah. Wow, see, that like kind of blows my heart open and inspires me, although I'm really happy in my monogamous relationship. But it's so beautiful to feel that you loved someone so much that you were happy for them to receive a beautiful, joyous experience and open to sharing them. I mean, it's not even like they're yours to share. It's so interesting, but in our society, it feels
like. I've done it a few times, and sometimes I would, you know, I would try to match her up with again, my best friends, and if possible, people who have totally different energy than mine. Okay, so I have more of a fire and earth energy. I connected her with a friend of mine who's like tall and handsome and sounds like Sean Connery, and yeah, she had a totally different experience with him.
Mm.
Okay, so yeah. Anyway, I didn't even plan to. Nobody ever asked me about all of this stuff. I'm happy to talk about, because what I really want to emphasize is that. It's like I had these experiences, but women listening don't have to live in a tantric community and they don't have to make love with lots of men. They are very welcome to. I think that's beautiful. But even if you have a life partner and you're with them for years and decades, you can still have some of those experiences with your partner.
Mm.
With living in a small town in the Midwest. Okay, so Yeah, I'll be happy to share more about that as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for allowing me to just seek a little bit into that that experience in your life, because it's so interesting. But yeah, I do want to find out how we can help the women and men listening, how they can do it at home as well. You mentioned a ritual of some kind before you made love. I'd love to know, like, let's start at the start there. What kind of ritual would you suggest that people could do before they have, they make love or have an experience with themselves? Mm-hmm.
So the first thing starts with intention. So instead of, you see many times in movies when there's like all this like strong passion and they chop on each other and they rip each other's clothes. And although that sounds sexy, that's also a little bit of a cliche. That looks sexy. It's a little bit of a cliche, you know? So one of the things that I would recommend is, first of all, close your eyes, hold each other's hands, close your eyes, and make an intention of what do you want to bring into this lovemaking. What, you know, pray to the highest energy and highest thing which has meaning for you, and that might be God or the universe or consciousness or love or your relationship. So even if you don't believe in, quote, you know, God, whatever that even means, you know, just dedicate that to your relationship, dedicated to love, dedicated to consciousness. So that's the first thing. That's the act of consecration. Express gratitude. Gratitude for being alive. Gratitude for having a body. Gratitude for being together. Gratitude for even having the time and the space to make love in this way, because there's people in the world that don't have that. Pledge your love for each other. You know, it's like, I love you and I'm doing this as an act of expressing my love to you. So that's all of the consecration, intention, gratitude. You can also do a little bit of sex magic where you invoke different intentions and different goals or outcomes that you would like the sexual energy to go to. You know, for example, I made love the other day and and we set intention for a few things. So you can totally dedicate this to your lovemaking, you can dedicate this to your health, you can dedicate this to your business, you can dedicate this to I don't know, a country which needs this, you can dedicate it to your grandma who's a bit old and, you know, she needs some distant healing. So yeah, that's another beautiful conscious way to harness the sexual energies.
So to do that, would you just say like, I dedicate this to growth in this area of my life or to the people in Syria right now? And then it's the intention that matters anyway.
Yeah. So that's the intention. And there's you can do this in different levels into different depths. So you can actually start visualizing how that, like the don't visualize the problem, visualize the situation and how you, the vision, sorry, and what, how you want that to look like. Okay. So, you know, Syrian people having like beautiful smiles on their faces, or your schedule being booked with the best, amazing, high paying clients, and your body being luminous and strong and so on. Mm-hmm. And then, by the way, this is something that you do before, during and after sex. And people sometimes forget about this idea. Suddenly we're talking about sex magic, but okay, let's go there. So it's not just about, you know, it's like New Year's resolutions, you know, it's like people put New Year's resolution and then 3 days, 3 weeks afterwards, they don't remember what even the resolutions were. Mm-hmm. So it's about keeping that alive throughout the lovemaking. So throughout the orgasm and in the moment, if we get there, we talk about orgasmic states and very, very long orgasmic states. So the idea is to get into those orgasmic states and keep cultivating that energy and keep envisioning that vision, that thing that you want to do with energy. Okay, so that's during the lovemaking and also after the lovemaking. And it's also important that the lovemaking is tantric and the energies are preserved and not lost. Because if you cultivate energy and then you lose the energy through ejaculation for men or through explosive orgasms for women, then it's like you've built something and then it's like you put money into a savings account. So it's like, oh, I'm going to donate it to the Syrian fund. Mm-hmm. And after a few days, you use it to buy very, very fatty, sugary ice cream, which is what those ejaculation and the other thing is about. So, so yeah, make sure that you keep the energy, and that's it makes it much stronger. Mm. And then at the end of the lovemaking as well, envision, keep visualizing that.
Mm.
So okay. There's another part of the ritual that I'd like to add, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And that is called transfiguration in Tantra.
Mm.
Transfiguration is about seeing through one of the translation of that is seeing through, or to change shape, which means you're seeing your partner as the divine. You're seeing the your partner as the god and the goddess. You're seeing your partner as the most amazing, perfect, ideal human manifestation. And also, you can also bring it into a more like approachable level. And sometimes I would see women that I would do transfiguration with, and sometimes we will have a ritual when we would transfigure without sex with dozens of women. And I would see them as celebrities. I would see them as film stars from the 40s. I would see them as gypsies. I would see them as Egyptian goddesses. So there will be these archetypes that would suddenly emerge in front of my eyes.
Mm.
So it's really about, instead of going like, oh, it's like, oh, you have a little pimple there, or you have a little scar there. Or it's like, people sometimes look for the bad things, and I look always for the beautiful things. It's also an opportunity for you to synchronize your breathing. It's also an opportunity for you to look at each other's eyes and create some kind of psychic connection. Okay, so instead of immediately, you know, jumping into, you know, it's like sticking it in, have this nice ritual where you connect with each other's on different levels. So yeah, that's one of the rituals that you can do.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I feel like we need to start probably at the start in terms of if someone's listening and they've never really even heard of Tantra or had a great definition given to them, because I think a lot of people think Tantra is like just sex, basically, and I know it's a lot more to it. Can you share with us that how you actually see Tantra by yourself and with someone else as well?
Yeah, so Tantra has many definitions, and I play with a few of them. So one of them is that Tantra is the science of life.
Mm.
There's many religious traditions that say, you know, it's like, this world is an illusion, it's Maya, it's samsara, it's suffering. The tantrics come and say, it's like, okay, it might be an illusion, but we're here for 80 years, let's fucking enjoy it. So instead of denying life and denying the body, you know, again, religions say that, you know, sex is bad and sex is a distraction, and the feminine is a distraction, and the body and the senses is a distraction. The tantrics come and say, it's like, we have this. So let's, instead of being enslaved to sex, enslaved to the body, enslaved to our senses, let's harness them like you harness a strong horse. You just harness the energy in an engine.
Mm.
And let's use it to fuel our life, fuel our health, and also fuel our spiritual practice.
Mm.
So this is one thing that you can look at Tantra. Tantra is like a web or warp, which means that everything is connected to everything. And that's a very, very new age way things to say. But in my private sessions and in my workshops, I actually teach people practices on how to actually embody that, how to actually strengthen that. Okay, so, and I always see the connection. For example, women's orgasms. So women have orgasms on different levels or different elements, and you can see how that translates to their life as well. And Tantra is about celebrating the feminine. And Tantra is about, for me, it's also about connecting between ecstasy and stillness. So sometimes I say Tantra is the union of ecstasy and stillness.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are only geared towards ecstasy and they're jumping and they're shouting and they're orgasming and whatever they do. And some people are only, you know, cave, empty mind, kind of like the masculine dry approach.
Mm.
And for me, Tantra is about having both of them, sometimes having both of them in the same time.
Mm.
So you have stillness in ecstasy and you have ecstasy in stillness.
Mm.
And there's again practices that support these ideas as well.
Mm, okay. And so, some tantra can be done alone as well, right? It doesn't have to be with a partner.
Yeah. So just to add also that sexuality is around 3 to 5% of traditional tantra. So there's philosophies and there's medicine and there's food and dance and music and how what's the first thing that you do in the morning and how do you live your life as a layperson, and you know, there's a lot of what's called the tantric arts.
I didn't know any of that. That is so interesting. Is it like you know how yoga has the Ayurveda sort of theory where how you can live your life like that? Is it similar to that, like an all-encompassing, here's how you live life?
Yeah, so that's part of tantra basically. So yoga is part of tantra and Ayurveda is part of tantra. So tantra is a huge methodology that includes those things. Okay, so some of them have branched off and they don't even recognize their tantric roots, you can say. You know, so for me, I have to say that when I use the word tantra, I do usually mean it in a sexual way. You know, when I say I'm tantric, that's what it usually means. You know, I practice tantra, you know, that's what it means. But it also has this wider meaning.
Mm, okay. Are there any cool snippets you want to tell us about, you know, what to do when you wake up in the morning and things like that? Or do you think the more juicy stuff is in the sexual part?
Let's talk about sex, baby.
I feel like everyone listening is like, okay, let's go there. Let's do this.
Yeah, I'm like, let's talk about orgasms and how women can, I'm happy to share about all of that stuff.
I want to bring your
audience the best possible value and practical value that they can have in this hour.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we can jump into that as well.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So you mentioned before about losing energy and keeping energy through different types of orgasms. Now, in my own research, in my own life, I've noticed that some of my orgasms literally, I think you mentioned them as explosive, and I feel kind of cheap after I do it because I know I can do better. And it's like I had like this awesome ice cream and then I'm going to come down afterwards, like from the sugar high. It feels like the energy explodes out of my body. And then there are other times where it feels like it not explodes, but like expands throughout my entire body on the inside. So are there, like, can you tell us about the different types of orgasms for women and for men as well?
Yeah. So first of all, I'd say that we kind of like didn't give this introduction, but I've been doing this work for many years with many women. And I know that some women might be listening and they're going like, oh, here's another guy who thinks that he knows what he's talking about, you know, and telling us what our experience has to do. And so on. So I'm not telling anybody anything, and I'm just suggesting thing that you can try on and see if that suits you. And also that there are many like really, really big female sexual educators that endorse me, endorse my work, endorse the book. So yeah, I'm a man that might know what he's talking about.
Yes.
And also to acknowledge that some women who are listening have never had any kind of orgasm. And they might be listening and they're kind of like being frustrated and go like, I like anything. I'd like to have that ice cream orgasm if I can, but I can't even have that. Mm-hmm. So I would say that just by you listening to this, you know, it's like, and especially if you follow the practices and if you follow the practices in Orgasm Unleashed, you will orgasm like you've never believed that is even possible. Okay. So let's get into that. First kind of orgasm you mentioned, which is the explosive orgasm, there's kind of like usually comes from clitoral stimulation.
Mm.
And it's kind of like it builds up very fast. You don't need so much build up in order for that to happen. And it's very much about effort. It's about rubbing. It's about, you know, vibrator or strong finger stimulation or oral stimulation. Or even, by the way, in sex, sometimes just from the pubic bones rubbing against each other, there would be that clitoral stimulation. And like you said, it feels a bit cheap. It feels like you've just had this ice cream and you have like a huge high and an immediate drop.
It's like you want to take it, like collect it back as soon as it comes out. You're like, don't go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's the feeling of like, oh, it's like you're building it and suddenly it's like it comes and it's like it goes so fast. A friend of mine calls it like a gentle sneeze. That's how I had an orgasm. And there's also other things that happen, which are kind of like joking around this, but sometimes it's even like, it's not even nice, you know? So women will feel this feeling of this sensation of being hypersensitive. So their clitoris or their genitals will become hypersensitive to the touch. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the feeling of like, lay off my clit now. Mm-hmm. Don't touch me. So that's the physical level, but also on the emotional level, they will feel disconnected. Mm. So if you have ever been with a man who ejaculated, that's similar to what men feel when they ejaculate, because a moment before I ejaculate, and I hardly ejaculate, but a moment before, I'm all into the woman and she's the goddess and I'm, you know, it's like worshiping every curve of her body and every, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. And after I ejaculated, suddenly it was like, there's less connection, there's less worship, so there's a disconnection. Mm-hmm. So women would feel disconnected from their self, from their body, from their femininity, from their partner. And it would be kind of like a meh feeling. And some women would actually feel a little bit depressed from this and might actually take a few hours and even a few days. So depending on a woman's energy and where she's at, it's like sometimes it can be even harsher than this. Mm. Yeah.
The reason this is happening, is that because it's like our sexual life force energy that we're exploding out of our bodies, and that's why we're feeling this like down afterwards?
Yeah, exactly. And also so most people can't hold big amounts of energy. And that sexual energy, that's also like success or money. It's part of that reputation, you know? So people are staying in their 9-to-5 job, staying small, you know, tall poppy syndrome. They don't allow themselves to shine. And that's similar to what happens with these orgasms as well, because, you know, I would hold a session for a woman and she would start building towards an orgasm, and then she would start trying to dissipate it because she would feel it would be too much. Also, it's like, and men as well, you know, they start after like half an hour of not ejaculating or after a few weeks of not ejaculating with another practice. It's like suddenly they feel like, oh my God, it's like I have so much energy. I'm feeling like I'm exploding.
Actually, yeah, I've noticed sometimes I don't want this to become let's talk about Kiara sex life. Like,
too much. I can only do it. Like, let's talk about Kiara. Okay.
Yeah, I just call my partner down. Like, honey, listen to this. You got to hear this. But I have noticed that there have been times where I'm like, I want to come now because this is too much to have inside of my body. Yeah. I feel that. Okay. It's so interesting.
And also on an emotional level, you know, it's like people numb themselves. And it's so great that you mentioned, you know, this ice cream thing, because it's like junk food. People numb themselves with food, with alcohol, with drugs, with shopping, with television, with porn, with masturbation, with obviously ejaculation and clitoral orgasms, and they numb themselves because they don't want to feel. Mm. And sometimes it's because they don't want to feel joy and pleasure, and usually it's because they have pain or they have frustration with life and they don't want to feel this, so they numb themselves with the things that I've mentioned. Mm. And in a sexual healing session, even over Skype, sometimes a woman would, I would get her into an orgasmic state over Skype, and she would start feeling and crying. And she would try to kind of literally rub it away. Mm. So instead, I guide people to feel what they need to feel and then to be able to process it and let go of that. So again, most people want to numb themselves. They don't want to feel, they want to avoid. During sex also, I had sex with women who said, it's like, I never have pain during sex. Why do I have pain with you? Because I'm bringing consciousness to their vagina. Mm. I'm bringing light to wherever there was darkness. So when you shine light on stuff that was hidden maybe for 20 or 30 years, there will be physical pain, there will be emotional pain, there will be a feeling of being fucking overwhelmed. It's be like, whoa! Sometimes a feeling of dying, you know? It's like, it's feeling of like, yeah, I write in the book that even intense pleasure can appear painful if a woman is resisting it.
Mm.
You know? So a woman would have such strong orgasms that she would feel like she's being electrocuted. But that only sounds bad when a woman or a man as well. Men can have these experiences when they're resisting it. But when they relax into it, and when they allow it and they don't try to understand it, they can have an amazing experience. Mm. They can have a blissful experience. So we start talking about the two kinds of orgasms. And so the explosive orgasm is the one where energy is built, and then it's exploded. And it literally feels like the woman is pushing it out. And when I listen to women orgasming, I can tell which kind of orgasm they have by the sounds that they make. Mm. So a clitoral orgasm would be an effortful orgasm. And it usually sounds like, oh, so it's like a woman start trying to push that.
I'm so excited you just did the noises. I started to giggle inside my own head as soon as you said that. I was like, should I make him say it? Perfect. Okay, thank you. And what does the other type of orgasm?
But you know what I mean? It's like sometimes I hardly ever watch porn, which is also one of the reasons I'm a sexual healer and a good lover, because I didn't get brainwashed. But when I do, I see women and it's like they're trying to like fucking climb a mountain, or they're trying to like get something with the sounds, you know? And it's like, and by the way, the sound is also a technique to orgasm, and it's you can stoke your orgasmic fire. But when a woman does that in order to orgasm, there's a lot of effort there. And instead, the woman can actually relax into an orgasm and not do much.
Mm.
And she can have an hour-long orgasm by herself without even touching herself. Okay, but we might get that later. We're getting jumped into the advanced stuff. So the other kind of orgasm is the implosive orgasm as opposed to the explosive orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it just the vaginal orgasm or internal orgasm, but it's not about that. Or it's not just about that. The implosive orgasm means that you build energy and the energy keeps running in waves in your body. This takes a little bit longer to build, especially if you're just starting your tantric practice. Sometimes it takes, and this is why many women are not experiencing this, because most men in the world are premature ejaculators and they don't even know about that.
Mm.
Okay, so when a woman have 5 minute sex, she's not going to have these amazing orgasms. It's only after a while and with openness and with surrender and with some test right of kind of practices that she does by herself, she would start to have an orgasm which feels totally different. It feels more round. If the clitoral orgasm feels sharp, it feels more round. It feels whole bodied rather than just focused on the genitals. It feels more heart-based. It feels more connected to self. It feels more connected to all or to other. So the clitoral orgasm is very much kind of like tick the box, I had my orgasm.
Mm.
Implosive orgasm is I just had our orgasm. And for me also with a woman, it's like I would be riding her orgasmic waves on that. So her orgasmic energy would fill me and will fill the room and will fill the neighborhood.
Mm.
It's more of a spiritual experience as well. Okay, so the energy starts to travel up the chakras and women would literally have a spiritual awakening in an experience of orgasm, in an orgasmic state.
Mm.
It also takes a while longer to come down from that state. And by the way, many times the waves keep going by themselves, even if you don't do anything, and you keep feeling it afterwards for days.
Mm.
So especially if you have some kind of these orgasms, it's like, in some ways, like you want to have more, but in some ways you feel more fully, deeply satisfied. So the clitoral orgasm, most women feel kind of like, oh, was that it?
Mm.
You know, it's like they have an orgasm and they're like, I don't really feel satisfied from that.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
When you have one of the implosive orgasms, it's like you feel so fully fulfilled. And yes, you can have another 3 hours of that, or you can go for another week without that because you're so really deeply and meaningfully fulfilled.
Mm.
So I'm not saying that the first one is wrong. They're not a sin. But they are doing a little bit of a disservice for women because they're robbing them of life energy, of success energy, of wealth energy, of creative energy, because sexual energy is creative energy. So clitoral orgasms are not bad. And clitoral, by the way, stimulation is great. There's no problem with that. We love the clitoris. Okay, it's such a beautiful place in a woman's body. But it's about understanding that you're not a girl anymore rubbing her clitoris. Okay, so you're a woman, and a woman has a vagina, and a woman has a whole body, and a woman has a heart and a mind. And it's not just about rubbing it until you come. So I don't believe in coming. Okay, I use the word coming, but usually when people come, it's actually they go. They don't come, it's just they leave.
Yeah, I hear you.
And instead, you can be coming all the time. You can be on a 1 hour orgasmic state if you do this practice.
Yeah, and the implosive orgasm has that that connection stays there, doesn't it, with the other person? It's not like, oh, okay, I'm done. Like, don't touch me anymore. Lay next to me. Don't talk to me. Yeah. It's actually this, like, it opened you to a deeper connection when you And do men have the same explosive, implosive types of orgasms?
Yeah, so with men, it's even kind of like more clear cut, because when a man ejaculates, it's a very obvious sign for an explosive orgasm. For women, by the way, if your clit feels hypersensitive, clit or genital generally, and if you feel a drop in your energy, if you feel that you're done, that's usually a sign that you have had one of those explosive orgasms. Mm-hmm. With the men, when the man ejaculates, he experiences all of this stuff. This is why, by the way, the clitoral orgasm is a very masculine orgasm. Very goal-oriented, short, sharp, well-defined. So men obviously have those ejaculatory orgasms, and that's what they know. And when I ask women, when do men make sounds, they say when they come. But when I make love, it's like many times I'll make sounds throughout. One of my friends noted the other day that she was living next to me and my partner at the time, and she was like, "Yeah, you're loud. I heard you." You know, so I was sometimes making more sounds than the women I was with. You know, so men can have these beautiful non-ejaculatory multiple orgasms. So he's not actually sacrificing anything by not ejaculating. On the other hand, is having a better experience, a more full experience. So once men learn to do this practice, I actually have an online program, in a very masculine program, a very structured program, step-by-step structures and processes and so on, that teach men how to do this. And then they come back and they say they don't feel the same thing after they don't feel the same when they start doing these practices. And partner suddenly tells them that they're shining and they're more masculine and they look more confident and they look more like men and less like teenagers, because teenagers, when I was a teenager, I discovered how to come, and for me, I was infatuated with that for years. Then there comes a time when you realize you're not a teenager anymore. Ejaculation is beautiful, sacred, whatever, it's like, it's great, but you're not a teenager anymore. So learn how to not be addicted, like most men are, to this form of instant gratification. And instead learn how to go beyond that natural bodily need and to harness it, and to harness the energy and to connect with your partner. So yeah, if people want that, we can include in the show notes as well a link. There's a free version of the program as well, of the ejaculation control program. And I can definitely say that this program works. So there's a lot of bullshit on the internet around ejaculation control, and that's a whole topic by itself. So
okay. All right, good. Well, I feel like I could talk to you forever, but we have to start closing up soon. So I would love to know tantric practices people can do at home just after having listened to this to open up to it. What do you recommend?
Okay, so one of the main practices that I would recommend to women, and one practice that literally, it's like when women actually did that, their orgasmic experience changed. So I've heard from women who thought that they were non-orgasmic, that never had an orgasm in their life, or just had those boring clitoral orgasms, and they did these practices. This one specific woman wrote to me, and she had multiple orgasms, G-spot orgasms, female ejaculation. She laughed, she cried. It lasted for hours, and that's from one or two articles that she read that I wrote.
So get the book, everyone.
Yeah, like literally. I mean, it's all in the book. And what I would suggest to you to start with is self-pleasuring. And when I say self-pleasuring, some people call this masturbation, but I think masturbation is a very limited term. So self-pleasuring is about pleasuring yourself. So let go of clitoral orgasms, and you can still explore clitoral stimulation, but don't get yourself to that point when you have a clitoral orgasm. And again, the practices are in the book. So first of all, avoid clitoral orgasms for at least a month. And when you start practicing that, you would discover that you might have an addiction to clitoral orgasms in the same way that men have addiction to ejaculation. So avoid that, and instead practice internal stimulation, first of all with your fingers. So put your fingers inside your yoni. Obviously, there's a whole practice, and you first arouse yourself and so on. But when you feel ready, explore your vagina with your fingers, first of all. And when I work one-on-one with clients, sometimes I help them get beyond the resistance to actually put their fingers inside. Mm-hmm. So many women have actually resistance to connecting intimately with their body. And then you use a non-vibrating dildo, a non-vibrating wand, to stimulate yourself internally. Okay, and that's, again, there's many practices around that in the book. And the idea is that awaken yourself internally as well. Let go of those clitoral orgasms and make love with yourself. I sometimes say, one of my memes is, if you want to have great sex, learn how to have great sex with yourself. So yeah, do this for at least 10 minutes every day, if possible 20 or 30 minutes. And I'm soon launching a Facebook group, so you can join the Facebook group and share how your experiences are going, and receive support from me over there on the group as well. So again, we can put the link in the show notes. Yeah, awesome. That's a good practice to start with.
Good. Yeah. And for the men, or for the women listening to share with their men, what would you recommend?
So again, the program, the online program, has a lot. What I would recommend with men, there's, in the beginning, it's a little bit more challenging because there's a few things that they need to know and to understand and to practice and so on. But what I would suggest is to have the intention to avoid ejaculation for a few weeks. And again, to self-pleasure without ejaculating. And a man's connection to his body totally changes when he self-pleasures with the intention not to ejaculate. And again, men are addicted to ejaculation. So have that intention. And when you make love with the man, so with the women, when you make love with the man, I just talked about it today with somebody, the whole experience is different because he's not focused on the moment that he's going to ejaculate. So it's a totally different experience. Yeah.
And what do you find? How do you find then you know that you're done? Like, when are you? Because sometimes I've done it and I'm like, okay, now I'm tired. Like, I'm just, this has been beautiful, but I'm tired.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, sometimes after the other day, I just had a 6-hour experience. Okay. So first few hours were even like non-penetrative. And the woman was just orgasming. And I was next to her, both guiding her in the orgasm and also riding her orgasmic waves. And afterwards went into penetration and stuff. And you know, at a certain time, it just became late. And I was like, okay, we need to go to sleep. And you know, sometimes you need to do something the next day, or sometimes you have to go to an appointment. But sometimes also there's experiences that you feel deeply satisfied and content, and you don't need anything else. So my tantra teacher would also say, it's like when you feel that you want to meditate, that's where orgasm really, or sex really, turns into a spiritual practice.
I like
that's another reason, or another way that tantric lovemaking might finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess you can come back to the intention that you set at the beginning and close it off yes. in that way, right?
Yes, and you can even set a timer, you know, so it's if you set a timer for 2 hours and at the 2 hour mark you're both like steaming and fully like connected and we really want to continue, but you know that you have to do something afterwards. So at the 2 hour mark you separate, you basically create really, really strong sexual polarity.
Mm.
So when a woman has a clitoral orgasm and women and ejaculates and then they lie together and cuddle for the rest of the night, they basically balance each other's energies.
Mm.
But in that moment when you actually separate, it's like magnets. You actually create a stronger polarity and a stronger masculine feminine energies within both partners.
Mm.
So that's again another reason to do this.
God, I could talk to you forever. Okay, one last question, and then we'll tell people how they can find you to keep this conversation going. Couples, what do you recommend? Like you've talked about the women and the men. Is there anything that you recommend that people can implement at home for couples?
So we already explored a few of the rituals that earlier in the episode. One of the things that I would recommend for couples is one of them to sleep in separate beds and if possible, separate rooms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's one thing. Another thing that I would recommend both partners to have a self-pleasuring practice. So you're not sexually dependent on your partner to fulfill you.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are in codependent relationships, and not just sexual, by the way, but other aspects of the relationship, where they look to their partner to satisfy all of their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, yeah. Start with a sexual practice, and you can still have sex, but have a self-pleasuring practice where you fulfill yourself, and then you connect with your partner from a full place and not from a needy place.
Mm. Okay? Yeah.
So that's another thing that you can do.
And the reason behind the sleeping in different beds, my partner and I do, but I wonder why. I mean, we do quite often, but I just wonder why your reason is for it.
So personally, for example, because I don't lose my sexual energies, when I sleep with a woman, you know, I spoon her. It's like we both have these orgasmic waves running in our body, so we literally cannot fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Or because I'm... The pool is still there. I keep wanting to touch it, you know, in the night.
Mm-hmm.
I would just hang out before going to sleep and I would be like exhausted and I would still like touch her or she would still touch me and basically sex just keeps going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not, maybe not penetrative or non-genital, but it keeps going. So it's like we need like physical separation.
Mm-hmm.
And also because you create polarity. Again, when a man and a woman sleep together, they balance each other's energies out. And by the way, sleeping together is beautiful, and you know, going to sleep and hugging throughout the night is beautiful. And sometimes you can do that. But on a regular level, if you can separate, you cultivate your own energy and you cultivate the polarity between you and as a man and as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome.
And then you have a better sleep, because when people sleep together, they, you know, somebody wakes up and then the other person wakes up. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. My partner has a really loud energy and I'm quite sensitive. So he sleeps in the other room so I can actually get rest.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. I feel like mind blown by all of this. I feel as though so many ideas about Tantra exist out there and you've just helped us to really understand what it actually is. Mm-hmm. So I'm so incredibly grateful, like for me personally and for the tribes that are going to be listening to this. Thank you. How can we find out more? You've got the book, you've got workshops. Like, how do we find out more about you?
So the main address is intimatepower.com. Intimate like intimacy, not like internet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's internet power. No. intimatepower.com. The book is on orgasmunleashed.com, and you can also download a 70 pages excerpt. I believe in giving a lot of value for free, and then if people like it, they come back for more.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically, in my private coaching, I work with professional women, business women, on their sexuality, creativity, and business, and I'm one of the only people in the world who have this integration. So instead of regarding this as separate parts, I help women connect to their sexuality, and harness their sexual energy to become more creative and to rock it in business from a feminine place, not from a masculine place.
Mm.
Okay, so that's very deep work, and specifically with women who help people. So if you're in a position when you're helping people, when you're making the world a better place, these are the people that I help, because by helping them, I can reach even more people.
Mm.
Okay, so reach out and we can have a quick conversation to see if there's a fit. I'm also open to cooperating with other people that want to bring sexuality to their practices and to their tribes. Because I feel that sexuality is the missing piece from personal development, from wellness, from coaching, from business. Mm. So really when this is integrated, whatever you're doing will be more holistic and will be more powerful once you recognize the sexual part. Okay. Mm. So if you have a tribe, if you have a podcast, if you have, you know, it's like, so I travel around the world holding workshops, and if you want me to come to your area, I'll be very happy to do so, because my weekend workshops are literally life-changing. So that's what I hear from people. So yeah, these are a few ways to reach me. And I would really say it's like, whatever level you are, whatever your experience is, within a few hours, a few days, a few weeks, you can have such a deeper experience. And the more you practice this, the more mind-blowing, life-changing, reality altering experiences that you can have. And it's not just about sex, it's about how you live your life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Welcome, and thank you for having me. You know, it's thanks to, I literally, some of the, like the whole half of the conversation, first half of the conversation, I don't think I've ever been interviewed about that. So,
yeah. I am that woman who will ask those questions. Like, sure. Even over dinner when people haven't met me, I'm like, you lived in a tantric community? I would say that even if we weren't in a podcast. So I love that the podcast gives me some kind of authority and credibility to be able to actually ask those questions. It's awesome. So much fun. Thank you. Thanks for playing along with all of it and for sharing so much. I appreciate it. And thank you to the listeners as well for tuning in each week. Like, I love that I get to ask people these questions so that you can hear them. I'm really, really grateful for you. And I would love for you to head over to iTunes and leave a review, 5 stars, and tell us what you like about it so that other people can have access to this kind of incredible wisdom, so that they're not thinking tantra is like, I don't know, open relationships and a lot of sex. Like, this stuff is so much more important than that. And I want to invite you to come over and head over to iTunes, leave a review so that other people can find out how awesome this kind of stuff is. I would be so grateful. And you can also head over to facebook.com/aninspiredlife with Kiara, Kiara with a K, so that you can tell both of us, find the podcast, find our faces on it. And I'm sure you'll see something big about orgasms and tantra. So you'll find it easily. But find the post where we talk about the podcast, and then tell us, how has this resonated for you? What was the one thing that stood out that either you're going to try, or if you're brave enough, share with us how you did try it and what your experience was? Because these kind of open conversations are, like you said just before, EL, that when we own and embrace our sexuality, that it's like that missing link to so much. When we stop shaming our bodies and our pleasure and that sexual energy and life force inside of us, then we create so much more magic in our world. So come over to Facebook and have a conversation with us about the magic that you've created since listening. Thank you again. And I look forward to chatting with everyone else again next week.
Thank you very much, Kiara, and thank you, everyone.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I've put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions, from how to make your breakup the best thing that ever happened to you, to the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.